This is some advice for people trying to find a long-term partner when they're 18, 19, and 20. So, or even younger. So you want to try and find someone who's securely attached. So in sixth form, I started learning psychology. It was one of the courses I did, one of the courses I studied, and we learned attachment theory. So I think it's like Bowlby and like Ainsworth, like these like old like 1960s and 1970s and stuff, psychologists, and they studied attachment, and they found this thing called the internal working model, the IWM. And what that is it's basically the first attachment we have with our primary caregiver. So 9 times out of 10, it's our mum. So what type of attachment we have with our mum translates into the type of attachment we have in future relationships with our girlfriends, with our partners, with our wives, or obviously husbands and boyfriends, etc. So if you have a shit attachment with your mum or your primary caregiver, that's going to reflect into your future relationships if you don't do something about it. So there's 3 or 4 types of different attachment. There's a secure attachment where you don't spend a lot of time away from your primary caregiver. When you're young, you get loved, you get cared for adequately, like more than enough. And that turns you into a secure attachment. So you explore the world, but then you come back. So Ainsworth did studies with securely attached infants, and what they'd do is they'd crawl away and explore, but then they'd come back. And this was different for the other types of attachment. So the next attachment type is avoidant attachment type. And avoidant attachment type is when you probably spend too much time away from your primary caregiver, from your mother, which means you become super independent and super like just uninterested in your primary caregiver. You just like explore the world, and it might sound good, but it doesn't help in future relationships, because what ends up happening is if you're an avoidant attachment type, you end up not giving your partner enough love. And whenever something goes wrong, you will break up or you'll cheat. So the classic example is like the avoidant. I mean, the girls have it as well, but it's like the avoidant male who, you know, is like you get together with, and then they don't show their feelings. They don't talk about their feelings. They cheat on you. They avoid confrontation. As an example, this girl has a boyfriend, and this girl's friend had a boyfriend, and he was probably avoidant attachment style, and his car broke down and he broke up with her because his car broke down, because he just like couldn't deal with the emotions and couldn't like confront the emotions with his girlfriend, and it was too much for him, it was too stressful for him, so he broke up with that relationship. That's not a very secure attachment style. Fucking hell, I literally live on like a main road, so if you hear like motorbikes and stuff, I apologize. Hopefully you can hear the birds, and there's a butterfly up there as well, which is really nice, a large white butterfly soaking in the morning sun. So cool. So avoidant attachment style, secure attachment style, and then there's insecure. So it's insecure, avoidant, insecure, I think, resistant. So insecure resistant is like the babies, when the babies are separated from their mother in these psychological studies, they'll kick and scream, and they'll want to be back with the mother. And then when the avoidant babies are separated from their mother, they don't give a shit, they don't care, they're just like unbothered. And then when the securely attached children are separated from their mother, they get upset. But when the mother's reintroduced, the securely attached baby, you know, cuddles with the mom, is like super happy, super secure, all good. The avoidant doesn't care, isn't interested. And then the insecure resistant or the anxious attachment, kicking and screaming. When the mother comes back, they're still kicking and screaming. They're still anxious. They're still agitated that the mother left them. And the reason why insecure attachments tend to happen is because of inconsistent love, inconsistent care. So the mother or the primary caregiver might be working a like 12-hour job, or might just like leave the child and neglect the child, or send the child to like the grandparents for too long, or send it to their friends because they're so busy, or they just want to get on with their lives and not take care of their child properly. And this ends up being reflected in your future relationships. So, you know, I'm sure you've heard of the avoidant and anxious attachment styles. It's from the relationship we have with our primary caregivers, with our mothers. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy, but it does make sense. Like, so much stuff happens in childhood. And if we don't do something about it, we end up just staying like that and staying in that behavioral pattern. Is my head cut off? Wait, let me just double check if my head's cut off on the camera. I might be just talking for like 20 minutes with my head completely cut off. So I apologize if you've seen half my head. Okay, I wasn't cut off, but just readjusted the camera so in the sunlight. All right. Ooh. So yeah, that reflects our relationships in adulthood, our attachment to our mothers. And what ends up happening is, if I already explained what happens if you're insecure, avoidant, you know, you'll have a hard time showing your feelings, you probably cheat, you can't stay in a long-term stable relationship, you end up just going out with people for 1 month and breaking up with them, or you just cheat on them. And then insecure, anxious, which I think maybe I had when I was like first, like when I was a teenager. I don't know, or maybe it's just low confidence. I have no fucking idea, because I have a really good relationship with my parents, so no idea. But insecure, anxious is when you're like almost like a, you know, like a helicopter parent, where they're like overarching on their kid and they don't let their kid do anything by themselves. I think insecure, anxious attachment is kind of similar. Like, they need a lot of validation, they need a lot of care. If you like try and do something by yourself, they just think you're cheating on them. They'll just be like really insecure and not let the partner do anything by themselves, or have a hard time letting the partner do something themselves. And they'll need a lot of compliments, they'll need a lot of love. And if you don't give them a bit of love when they ask for it, they'll probably throw their toys out of the pram, right? And why does this matter? Why is this a problem for like teenagers and young people? If you get into a relationship with an avoidant person or an anxious person, or you're one of those yourself, you're gonna have a really hard time having a long-term stable relationship that doesn't take energy away from you. So if you compare, let's just compare a secure relationship to a avoidant and an anxious relationship first. So a secure relationship is, you know, you can do stuff by yourself and it's not a problem. You trust your partner, you're both loyal to each other, you don't suspect the other one's cheating or like chatting bad things about you behind their back. You can just have your alone time, have your space. When you argue, you are able to fix it quickly, and there's no hard feelings, there's no silent treatment, there's no guilt tripping, there's no gaslighting. And if your partner goes out with their friends, you don't worry about them, you don't worry that something bad's gonna happen or they're gonna do something to ruin the relationship. So things like that. It's just nice and calm. It's almost like, I was gonna say boring, but it's not, it's just content. I was talking to my friend a few weeks ago, like, and we were saying how relationships relationships should be boring, not like like an old 70-year-old couple, but then why are they still together at 70? It should just be content. You should just be happy, and you shouldn't have to worry, you shouldn't have to overcompensate, you shouldn't have to, you know, put all your energy and resources into making sure they're all right. And a secure relationship means that the partner can deal with their own stuff with your support, but they don't necessarily need you to deal with it. If you weren't together, they'd still manage it because they have a secure family that they can talk to, they have friends that they can talk to, and they can just deal with it internally. Whereas an anxious or avoidant relationship, you'd have to, if you're dealing with someone like that, someone with anxious or insecure attachment style, they will sap all your time from you. You'll have to permanently be thinking about their feelings over yours. You'll be continually putting more to make sure they're all right than you get back. And they're the center of your world. they're just over consuming, all encumbering your life. You have no friends now, you have no hobbies, you have no career plans, you're just focused on them, making sure their needs are met, and you don't have a fucking life because you're just obsessed with them and you're always making sure they're okay. Because if you, you know, have your own time, have half a day to yourself, they'll be spamming you with messages saying, where are you? What's going on? Why aren't you like talking to me? Or like, do you love me anymore? Like, are we going to break up? Like, are you cheating on me? Like, that's what happens. Whereas if you're in a secure relationship and you go to the sauna for an afternoon, you know, your partner might ask, oh, where are you? Oh, dinner's ready at 6 p.m. I assume you're at the sauna or something like that. And then you get home and you explain where you were, and that's fine. Then you get on with the rest of your evening together. You know, it doesn't turn into, small things don't turn into an argument. Obviously, you can still be in a secure relationship and have arguments. I'm not saying that. That's just normal. That's normal in every relationship. But it's how quickly that argument goes from something small and manageable to something huge and out of control, and you suddenly broken up. You know, that's the difference. So as a young guy, you need to either acknowledge that you're avoidant or you're insecurely attached, and, you know, read some books or listen to some podcasts on how to fix that. Or you are securely attached, or you might be insecurely attached as well, and you need to try and find a securely attached partner. And to be honest, it's probably you need to really think where you're going to find that type of partner, a securely attached partner. Are you going to find a securely attached partner in a club at 3 a.m.? Are you going to find a securely attached partner on a dating app? You might on a dating app. Don't know. You've got to decide where the higher volume of securely attached people are versus insecurely attached people are. If you're looking in a nightclub, you're probably not going to find as many securely attached people, because a lot of people in nightclubs are looking for a one night stand, a short term partner, or just to get off with as many people as possible, which if you want to do that, that's fine. But if you want a long term stable relationship, probably not a good idea to go looking in that area. Whereas if you looked in a library or a cafe or on your university campus or at the gym or in the sauna or a yoga class at 6 a.m. or 8 a.m. or 9 a.m., you're probably going to have a higher chance of finding someone that you can genuinely have a long-term relationship with. So like I said earlier, I met my partner on university campus, and it was like mid-morning. It wasn't in a nightclub. It wasn't, you know, in like Wetherspoons or something. It was like in a like normal, like non-degenerate place. And I'm lucky because she still could have been, you know, going out all the time. And have I been speaking the wrong? Oh, it doesn't matter. Going out all the time and drinking and stuff, but she wasn't. Like, you got to make sure that your values align. And, you know, I'm 20. I don't know everything about relationships, but I've been almost in a 2-year stable, secure relationship. And I know I needed this advice when I was 15, 16, 17, 18. So, you just need someone that aligns with your values. And you don't want to get into a relationship with someone if their values don't align with yours. So if you, you know, don't like going clubbing, maybe it's not a good idea to get with someone who's goes out clubbing 4 times a week. If you, you know, want kids, then obviously you need to get with someone who likes kids. If you like fitness, maybe it's be better if they like fitness as well. If you like reading, you like learning about the world, or you like going out in nature, then you should try and find a partner who likes the same. It's common sense, but it's so easy to just forget about stuff like this until you're 6 months into a relationship and you realize you don't even like the partner and you want to get out of it. Do you really think it's going to last if she likes going out and clubbing and getting drunk, and you like going to the sauna and going to the beach and staying inside and cuddling in bed? Probably not, right? So you need to find someone who aligns with your values and your morals, and even like with stuff like money as well, like you just need to find someone who has similar interests to you. You know, opposites may attract in the short term, but similarity wins over the long term. So definitely try and find someone. And, you know, when you're young, it's fucking terrifying going up to someone in a cafe or going up to someone in the gym. You know, if you spend too much time on social media, which you shouldn't, you'll see these probably clips of guys being recorded going up to girls in the gym and stuff, which like is such a low like probability of happening, like 9 times out of 10. If you go up to a girl in the gym and like just ask her a few questions, ask her where she's from, whether she's joined here recently, and you just get chatting like you would to one of your mates, that's not a fucking problem. But we have this idea that if we go up to a girl, like we're going to get the police called on us and shit because you spend too much time on social media and you have this like skewed extreme version of the world, because only the extreme stuff goes viral